RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. What a week Wednesday. You are listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
The unimpeachable Val.
And
I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, well, if anybody's unimpeachable, it's you, Val.
Yeah, because nobody's coming after me.
No, not right
I've
now.
I've got nothing nobody wants.
That's not true.
Hey, you know, this is such an amazing, and not in a good way. It's not even in a bad way either. I feel like I'm going to a freak show, like we are in a house of wax and all the wax models are melting.
Except the ones that, yeah, no, yep. It has been crazy town. And so you guys know, we do record very, you know, early in the morning for release at 2:30. So it is 10:10 a.m. Eastern right now as we record this show. And we are sitting here staring at the unclassified transcripts of President Trump's call with Zelensky. And in typical Dark to Light fashion, we figured why not act this call out for you guys.
You got it. That sounds like a good idea.
Frank was like, you could make me President Trump. And I said, well, by golly, let's do it that way. And then we'll get into this.
And you're Zelensky, comedian.
I am Zelensky. I am. You ready?
The comedian president. This is great, actually, because you really think about this transcript. It's a transcript between two leaders, two political figureheads of two nations with a lot of problems, both with a lot of problems. And the president is a... Obviously, he has his industrial background, but he's also pretty much a piece of entertainment comedic relief in himself, entertainment mogul in his own way. And then Zelensky is a comedian who obviously the Ukrainian people were sick of their own shenanigans out there and just said, you know what, to hell with it.
What would there be to be sick about, Frank? Everything was going along swimmingly. There was no corruption issues in the Ukraine, right?
Nothing whatsoever.
I mean, the Ukraine was sailing along a bastion of all that's good and right in the world. A bastion.
Man, you know something? Before we get started, I would recommend this. I was listening to Michael Savage yesterday when I got his podcast, and he had his lawyer on, I think David Horowitz, I forgot what his name is. Either way, his lawyer also represents the former prime minister out there in Ukraine. And the multi-segment conversation of yesterday's episode of The Savage Nation, I would recommend people listen to it just because it is a really fascinating few more layers of the onion of understanding Ukrainian politics and the way that Ukrainian citizens are just as hopeless at times about their own state of affairs as we feel about ours. And I think it would just really be very good to give a little bit more of a background to what the political power plays that are out there and how it actually plays out on a international level. It will remind you about what role Ukraine plays in the influence game that Russia plays with Europe and the power, the energy situation, because Ukraine is the gateway from Russia into the EU as far as natural gas and everything else.
It makes me laugh too that these folks in these evil criminals that are trying to obstruct this president at every turn wouldn't want us to have an amazingly successful and well-grounded relationship with a new leader of the Ukraine, given that it is the pipeline for all of the energy in Russia.
That's the thing here, Tracy, and someone brought it up on my show last night. A caller from Vancouver Island called in and said, why do you think there's no spine to even the Republicans, who even right now, there is never any real there's a few people that you can tip your cap to who do good work and you can tell probably have a little bit less hanging over their heads. But even right now, you can get some there's a Republican majority in the Senate who could just as easily get up this morning and say, hey, to all you conniving losers in the house, do whatever you want. It's going to fail. It's going to fail. Your impeachment is going nowhere. Play your games and throw it in their faces. There's nothing. There's nothing but little mouse face, possum face Mitt Romney, who is, I'm very concerned. I'm concerned about this. Everybody's showing concern, and they don't want to rock the boat. And they're all trying to pretty much immunize Joe Biden while being, trying to show an acceptable level of suspicion.
I'm telling
with Donald
you right
Trump.
Now, it's telling to me the way that they're reacting to this, because there's a couple different reasons. Number one, this takes down Obama too. So I think that it has, just like with Clinton, it has less to do with Biden than it does with Obama. And I think that they're frantic because of that. Number two, I know that they know that if Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders somehow end up the Democrat nominee for president, they are absolutely 100% completely done for God knows how long. They need their moderate candidate. So they're trying frantically, even though they probably really don't want to save Joe Biden, which by the time Trump is done with him, is going to be just as useless as Elizabeth Warren.
That's interesting, because I've also heard one or two people suggest the other way around, that perhaps this is a underhanded way that Democrats can be rid themselves of Joe Biden.
I thought the same thing, but I thought I know why you're saying that. And I saw.
Oh, I'm not saying it. I don't know what the hell I believe.
No. I know why you're saying that to me as a point to speak about. Sorry.
Right.
Because I've just seen the way the machinations are going. Like, I'm going to do a little stream after this going through just the strategic kind of aspect of all of this stuff. And I see the way the machinations are going, and I can see that the Democrats are really scared. And it's not because, like, they would just go along with this. You wouldn't see the media pushing so hard. You wouldn't see impeachment proceedings being brought. You wouldn't see that stuff.
Well, yeah, especially since they obviously don't care about Bill Clinton's legacy anymore. He's of no use to them anymore. And he's really of no. So he's like, oh, that's why all those admissions. Yeah, perhaps Bill Clinton was a little bit rough around the edges sexually and all that stuff, because you don't need him anymore. But to go back around to what you asked, or you're talking about why, and I know it was a little bit more of a rhetorical question about why there wouldn't be more concern about Ukraine and what relationship and how it leans on every other domino out there. And I think it ties in also with the concern and the wonderment of it all, of why Republicans, especially the vast majority of them that are still around, that are still hanging around, are not as aggressive as you would hope so in such an amazing opportunity to bludgeon them all away. And I think for the most part, Tracy, it shows how many people from both parties are still trying to find a way to merely survive the Trump administration, because they're all so many are compromised.
Yep.
I mean, he's been around for 3 years. Yes, he has pulled a few of them by the ears to act a little bit more in accordance with what his shoot 'em up kind of approach to this all has been. But there's so many special interest hooks in all of these people.
If there was nothing clear to you folks out there before this 3 year span or 4 or 5 year span now, it is that the Republicans and the Democrats, for the most part, are one in the same. There are a few people with integrity sitting in government right now, and Trump getting the ability or being elected by the United States people, the American people, to be president destroyed their game. And their reaction to it was so overblown that it exposed them even further. And it's not just the left, guys. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
No. Yeah. I mean, what did Skeletor say yesterday? Nancy Pelosi, when she came up to announce that they're going to be moving forward with impeachment, she started talking about Ben Franklin and the Constitution. Can that blasphemer tell me one reason, one thing that is constitutional?
She,
about any of this.
She's not even following the constitutional progression of getting impeachment going. And she's sitting there talking. By the way, you forgot to send me that picture.
Which?
The one we talked
about. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. People are going to get the wrong idea.
Why?
No,
that's right.
It's nothing. Look, anyway, moving right along.
Yeah.
I'm so angry. Like, I was so angry and on fire yesterday because the hypocrisy is just astounding to me. This entire thing, the fact that they're going to start formal impeachment inquiry, which they've been doing anyway, but we're taking this a little bit differently. I'm taking this a little bit of a different direction than I was. The fact that they're going to do that because Joe Biden's son was being investigated and Joe Biden had the prosecutor fired by dangling U.S. aid removal over their head. They're impeaching President Trump because of that Joe Biden did. Any American that doesn't see through this, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. And you know what? This doesn't necessarily have anything to say unless there's something that comes out about Joe Biden's son. He was a private citizen. The Ukraine, anybody who's setting up shop out there, it doesn't matter. You can hire whoever the hell you want. On Joe Biden's end, there is something going on there. And here's the other thing about this that I think that a lot of people have lost in the shuffle of all the rhetoric is that there was already a good amount of work done in this investigation against the Bidens on the Ukraine.
Years ago.
So whatever Donald Trump is asking right now is really just saying, give me what you already have.
He didn't
what
even say to give him anything.
Well, what do you have? What is going on out there? What work was already done? What can you help us out with here? A new investigation doesn't even have to be launched. An old one was suppressed. It's just like everything else that's going on over here. Even with the Epstein thing.
There's new news in that we could talk about today, too. Busy show.
You know?
Let's read this thing, Donald Trump.
Okay.
And because you're going to probably step a second back when we read through it, because it's a little different than what you were just talking about.
So this is July 25th, 2019?
Yes.
9:03 a.m.
2 days after my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Tracy. All right, the president, he says, congratulations on a great victory. We all watched from the United States and you did a terrific job. The way you came from behind, somebody who wasn't given much of a chance and you ended up winning easily. It's fantastic achievement. Congratulations.
You are absolutely right, Mr. President. I don't know the accent. We did win big and we worked hard for this. We worked a lot, but I'd like to confess to you that I had an opportunity to learn from you. We used quite a few of your skills and knowledge and were able to use it as an example for our elections. And yes, it is true that these were unique elections. We were in a unique situation and we were able to achieve a unique success. I'm able to tell you the following. The first time you called me to congratulate me when I won my presidential election, and the second time you're now calling me when my party won the parliamentary election. I think I should run more often so you can call me more often and we can talk over the phone more often.
Ha ha ha, that's a very good idea. I think your country is very happy about that.
Well, yeah, to tell you the truth, we're trying to work hard because we wanted to drain the swamp here in our country. We brought in many, many new people, not the old politicians, not the typical politicians, because we want to have a new format and a new type of government. I lost my place. You're a great teacher for us in that.
Well, it's very nice of you to say that. I will say that we do a lot. We do a lot for Ukraine. We spend a lot of effort and a lot of time, much more than European countries are doing. And they should be helping you more than they are. Germany does almost nothing for you. All they do is talk. And I think it's something that you should really ask them about. When I was speaking to Angela Merkel, she talks Ukraine, but she doesn't do anything. A lot of European countries are the same way. So I think it's something you want to look at. But the United States has been very, very good to Ukraine. I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily, because things are happening that are not good. But the United States has been very good to Ukraine.
Yes, you are absolutely right. Not only 100K, but not only 100%, but actually 1,000%. And I can tell you the following. I did talk to Angela Merkel and I did meet with her. I also met and talked with Macron. And I told them that they're not doing quite as much as they need to be doing on the issues with the sanctions. They're not enforcing the sanctions. They're not working as much as they should work for Ukraine. And it turns out that even though logically the European Union should be our biggest partner, but technically the United States is a much bigger partner than the European Union. And I'm very grateful to you for that, because the United States is doing quite a lot for Ukraine, much more than the European Union, especially when we're talking about sanctions against the Russian Federation. Oh, I would like to also thank you for your great support.
They're going to say what? This should be a Russian promo. I thought that they were going to start a discount code for Russia. They're trying to help Russia out so much, I thought. They're going to have a coupon day.
I would also like to thank you for your great support in the area of defense. We're ready to continue to cooperate for the next step. Specifically, we're almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes.
Oh, I would like to. I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot, and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. You have one of your wealthy people. The server. They say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have that attorney. I would like to have the attorney general call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, the whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller. An incompetent performance. But they say a lot of started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible.
Yes, it is very important for me. And everything that you just mentioned earlier, for me as a president, it's very important. And we're open for any future cooperation. We're ready to open a new page on cooperation and relations between the United States and Ukraine. And for that purpose, I just recalled our ambassador from the United States, and he'll be replaced by a very competent and very experienced ambassador who will work hard on making sure that our two nations are getting closer. I would also like and hope to see him having your trust and your confidence and have personal relations with you so we can cooperate even more so. I will personally tell you that one of my assistants spoke with Mr. Giuliani just recently, and we're hoping very much that Mr. Giuliani will be able to travel to Ukraine and will meet once he comes to Ukraine. I just wanted to assure you once again that you have nobody but friends around us, and I'll make sure that I surround myself with the best and most experienced people. I also want to tell you that we're friends. We're great friends, and you, Mr. President, have friends in our country, so we can continue our strategic partnership. I also plan to surround myself with great people. And in addition to that investigation, I guarantee as the president of Ukraine that all of the investigations will be done openly and candidly. That I can assure you.
Well, good, because I heard that you have when is this? Hold on. Wait a second.
It's hard to read.
Wait. Yeah, no, I have a page 4 or 5 over the top of this. Good, because you have there's a watermark, a page marker on top of the actual text. I can't read past it. Good, because I heard you have a prosecutor, something
who was very good.
Who was very good. He was shut down, and that's really unfair. What does it say, people?
A lot of people
are talking about that. The way that they shut your
very good prosecutor.
Very good prosecutor down, and you had some very bad people
involved.
Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor. I would like him to call you. I will ask him to call you along with the attorney general. Rudy very much knows what's happening and is a very capable guy. If you could speak to him, that would be great. The former ambassador from the United States, the woman was bad news. And people she was dealing with in the Ukraine were bad news. So I just want to let you know that. The other thing, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution. And a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me.
I wanted to tell you about the prosecutor. First of all, I understand that I'm knowledgeable about the situation. Since we've won the absolute majority in our parliament, the next prosecutor general will be 100% my person, my candidate, who will be approved by parliament and will start a new prosecution as a new prosecutor in September. He or she will look into the situation specifically to the company that you mentioned in this issue. The issue of the investigation of the case is actually the issue of making sure to restore the honesty so that we will take care of that, and we'll work on the investigation of the case. On top of that, I'd like to kindly ask you if you'd if you have any additional information that you can provide to us. It would be very helpful for the investigation. So make sure we're administering justice in our country with regard to the ambassador to the United States from Ukraine. As far as I recall, her name was Ivanovich. It was great that you were the first one who told me that she was a bad ambassador, because I agree with you 100%. Her attitude towards me was far from the best, and she admired the previous president and she was on his side. She wouldn't accept me as a new president well enough.
Well, she's going to go through some, what does it say there?
Things.
Some things that will have Mr. Giuliani give you a call. And I'm also
going to have Attorney General Barr call.
And we will get to the bottom of it. I'm sure you will figure it out. I hear the prosecutor was treated very badly, and he was a very fair prosecutor. So good luck with everything. Your economy is going to get better and better, I predict. You have a lot of assets. It's a great country. I have many Ukrainian friends. They're incredible people.
I would also like to tell you. Oh, goodness, I lost my place. Sorry. I would also like to tell you that I have quite a few Ukrainian friends that live in the United States. And actually, last time I traveled to the United States, I stayed in New York near Central Park, and I stayed at Trump Tower. I will talk to them.
Emoluments! Emoluments! You know it. You know somebody's going
to
say it.
Yep. I will talk to them, and I hope to see them again in the future. I also wanted to thank you for your invitation to visit the United States, specifically Washington, D.C. On the other hand, I also want to assure you that we will be very serious about the case and will work on the investigation. As to the economy, there's much potential for our two countries, and one of the issues that's very important for Ukraine is energy independence. I believe we can be very successful in cooperating on energy independence with the United States. We're already working on cooperation. We're buying American oil, but I'm very hopeful for a future meeting. We will have more time and more opportunities to discuss these opportunities and get to know each other better. I'd like to thank you very much for your support.
Good. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate that. I will tell Rudy and Attorney General Barr to call. Thank you. Whenever you would like to come to the White House, feel free to call. Give us a date, and we'll work that out. I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much. I'd be very happy to come, and we'd be very happy to meet with you personally and get to know you better. I'm looking forward to our meeting, and I'd also like to invite you to visit Ukraine and come to the city of Kyiv, which is a beautiful city. We have a beautiful country which would welcome you. On the other hand, I believe that on September 1, we will be in Poland, and we can meet in Poland, hopefully. After that, it might be a very good idea for you to travel to Ukraine. We can either take my plane and go to Ukraine, or we can take your plane, which is probably much better than mine.
Okay, we can work that out. I look forward to seeing you in Washington and maybe in Poland, because I think we're going to be there at that time.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Congratulations on a fantastic job you've done. The whole world was watching. I'm not sure it was so much of an upset, but congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bye-bye.
Oh, by the way, one more thing, President Zelensky. If you do not do something to Joe Biden, I will not give you hundreds of millions of dollars. And if you don't do what I tell you, then we are not going to give you money that you so desperately need. And don't tell anybody that I said this, please.
Yes, Mr. President, your jet is much bigger than mine. I'll make sure to pass along the message.
Thank you. Remember, don't tell anybody I said this. It could be very bad for me.
I will not tell anybody that you've said this. I promise.
What the hell was in that transcript? Tracy, honestly, number one, there's not even any mention of money, number one. Number two, it is such a casual conversation, mostly about things that had already happened, and he's making a general inquiry. The only thing I see about this that is possibly the issue with anybody is that they are getting dangerously close to something that is so catastrophically damaging to not only just the Democrat Party, which the Queen Spider lives in that party, but just everybody and everything and every last administration for the last five administrations, whatever the hell it is really the only thing I can take away from this, is that they're getting way too close to comfort for some real answers of some scandals.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's a cordial.
That was a call about diplomacy with one of our allies. It
was a very cordial, non-controversial call from what we read. I don't know what the hell is going to be pulled from this.
There's nothing here. Legit nothing here. CNN, somebody just tweeted me. CNN is reporting it by saying this. Trump, hold on. Bear with me, because this is like one of those shows that's kind of going live. hold on. Oh, somebody put my face on a picture reading. I love when people do that. I love when people do that. I have too many comments on this. Oh, my God. Come on. Oh, CNN is reporting it. Transcript shows Trump pushed Ukraine to investigate Biden, but they said they were already investigating. He said he was already investigating.
Yep. Yeah. And not only that, but investigations had already gone on.
Yeah.
And then they were stuffed away. They were obstructed.
Look,
I mean,
this is July. This is July, and he's talking about Barr giving him a call. What does that tell you?
He had already given. He probably gave him a call the next week.
Yep.
So that's already been. They are preparing for something that's already been done.
Yeah, for sure. That's got to be what it is, because when they start doing this whistleblower, like let's piece through this story. Now, you know, this is a major thing that's going on in the country, so we're going to spend a little more time on it today. I'm sure people are interested. Let's piece through the story. The very first rumblings that we heard, Frank, were what? It was Schiff.
Oh, is that how I assumed it was somebody like him.
So Adam Schiff comes out and starts complaining that the White House won't allow a whistleblower complaint in front of the Intelligence Committee or Congress. I'm not sure which. I got to look back. And that's how it started. And that didn't pick up very much steam in the news. Nobody gave a crap about it. Nobody cared. So then they stepped it up a notch and they said it was about the president's phone call that he had. There was no other details, but he had a phone call. The whistleblower overheard, heard the phone call and said that it was some horrible thing, blah, blah, blah. That festered for a day or so until the next day, all of a sudden, they started leaking out that it was the Ukraine. As soon as they leaked out it was Ukraine, Rudy Giuliani was ready and he was on every news station talking about Biden and Ukraine. That dominated news coverage for a couple days, right? Then, after that happened, we got this whole pay for play nonsense that was coming out, and it was still all about this phone call. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah. So it was all about this phone call that Trump had. Then yesterday rolls around. Trump says he's going to release the transcript of the call. Nancy Pelosi comes out and says they're going to start formal impeachment inquiry into the president without ever seeing the transcript. Oh, before that, we started learning that the whistleblower didn't actually even hear the call themselves, but heard it from someone who heard it from someone, or just heard it from someone. It was hearsay and didn't even hear the call themselves. And we also started getting word that this might not even be a formal whistleblower complaint due to the fact that this person didn't even hear it themselves. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Then yesterday we had Pelosi come out saying impeachment, impeachment, impeachment nonsense. And Trump said he was going to release this. Trump said he was going to let the whistleblower go in front of Congress and release the complaint and all of there was something else he said he was going to give over. And he warned them days ago, if you keep going with this, you're going to have a long way to fall. And I actually have a clip that I wanted to listen to about it. What do you say?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Did I send it to myself? No, of course not. So this whole thing has been really weird. And we talked about this the other day because this story has been festering for over a week now, which is very strange in today's sort of a world for this to go on for weeks or more than a week in such a fast moving news cycle. I don't understand. I'm going to play it in a second. I'm sorry. I don't understand why the Democrats are going so far with this with zero information.
It's not just that, Tracy. And to think that if they were going to base an impeachment proceeding or any kind of a parliamentary blah, 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 they love using terms to make them feel important. But if they were going to do anything based on this turn of events, why wouldn't you wait 10 hours for the transcript to come out to at least know what you're going to spin into an impeachment conference? The fact that with this being announced to be released in unredacted form today.
Well, they shifted then. They shifted from the phone call being important to the entire dealings he has with the Ukraine being a problem.
Yeah, I and this is what I'm saying. There's and I'm sure you feel it, and many other people feel it at this point too. It is more so about putting up whatever kind of a firewall that they can put up in preparation for, I don't know what the hell kind of cataclysm is coming their way.
It's got to be something.
It has to be something. There is no excuse for this knee-jerk reaction, especially when the transcript is coming out the next day. That even when, at this point, now they're going to say, no, we just waited until, we know the transcript's coming out tomorrow, but we thought that today, the day before, would be a good time to say, no, it's finally time. He has committed several impeachable offenses. Well,
did you hear that? I'm going to play this clip in a second. Don't let me forget. But did you hear Ocasio-Cortez come out and say they're also going to pile emoluments onto his impeachment? They're going to use this as some sort of springboard for everything that they could possibly ever think. Like, he broke a nail. They're going to put that in his impeachment inquiry, too.
Oh, absolutely. I told you, I would not be surprised if Zelensky staying at Trump Tower
is an emolument.
Is going to be an emoluments situation there. I would not be surprised if they bring that up. They're so out of their mind.
Here, listen.
If it weren't for the emoluments clause and the Fifth Amendment, they would hate the Constitution altogether.
Yeah. Yep. Here, wait. This is John Roberts on Fox.
If there's something that the president said that's been sticking in my mind since last week. When people first started asking him about this idea of this conversation with Zelensky, he said, keep on climbing basically up this ladder of this story because you're going to fall a long way when the truth comes out. And there's a little piece of me that's wondering if this is all orchestrated to bring everybody down who's seeking impeachment. That may be giving them too much credit. I don't know. But that stuck in my mind what he said about keep on pursuing this story because you're all going to end up with egg on your face. So when that transcript comes out tomorrow, I think that's going to tell the story of whether the president really did something wrong or everybody was just chasing a ghost.
Well, I also want to ask something about this ghost that's been chasing and what was actually in there. We call it a nothing burger for it in one sense of the word because it's provided nothing for one side. But as far as other interesting things in there, what the hell was that comment about the server?
Yes, the CrowdStrike and the server. Yep.
What does that mean?
Caught that. And that's something we'd never heard before. Were they running this entire shit through Ukraine?
I would have to imagine. Also, if you think about this too, was Zelensky with a very Trump-style election where all of a sudden he sweeps into office, the comedian out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden the parliament starts to change. People start believing that there could be some kind of a washing out, a draining of their own swamp. Perhaps if these two parallel upswells of Trumpian proportion, what we're starting to see is this exposure of a system that was left in place that there was really, you talk about Five Eyes and everybody evading domestic privacy laws for spying on each other. Imagine that, where you have different server backups in all of your paid off friends around the world, including Ukraine. And now, because an unexpected political tide has changed, You realize how many roaches are underneath every rock.
Yeah, everywhere. Listen, I'd like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I'd like you to find out what happened with that whole situation in the Ukraine. Find out what happened. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it.
What the hell? Ukraine has it. The CrowdStrike server.
They say CrowdStrike. Okay. Let's see. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server.
So he's talking about the 2016 election there.
Yeah. There are a lot of things that went on the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. Was the guy who owns CrowdStrike Ukrainian? Let me just see something. I don't remember. I think he may be. No. Not that one.
No, I don't know.
Hold on. Sorry, guys. Ha! Live investigating on the Dark to Light podcast. I'll figure it out. Anyway, it's just interesting. There's a couple of other tidbits in there, too, that people have pointed out so far. You know, you could always see more in there than you think there is in there.
Oh, well, it's the only thing. It's the only thing that's left to do is to really go and dig into what the president is actually concerned about. There's nothing concerning about this conversation, but there are interesting tidbits in this conversation that may give some clues into what the inner workings of this administration really are as far as rooting out past corruption. Because man, I can't wait to see what the spin on this is going to be over the next 12 hours.
You know that when your homepage on Twitter is not updating with all the lefties running around crying like they usually do to me every single day, that there's a problem.
There's a big problem.
Yeah. Let's use the logic of the Democrats and media here. If Joe Biden doesn't have anything to hide, what's the problem with Donald Trump's administration probing his activities in Ukraine?
Yeah. Well, not only that.
If you're going to take
Democrat logic to its end result as well, especially with the way that they've treated Brett Kavanaugh with unfounded things from 30 years ago, why would you ever want to preserve the candidacy and the legacy of a man, Joe Biden, who, if he were ever to become president, can now be instantly impeached by something that he did however many years ago, whether it's founded or unfounded?
Mark Meadows, Frank. I've read the transcript and the Democrat spin was wrong again. President Zelensky initiated the Giuliani convo and asked the White House to send him to Ukraine. Zero discussion of foreign aid quid pro quo. That's it? That's what the Democrats are impeaching
on?
Give me
zero.
Yep, literally. And so one of these little idiots underneath says, it's Linny Dell on Twitter. We don't want the doctored transcript. Now it's doctored.
Oh, God, yes.
We want the whistleblower complaint. We've had enough of the GOP cover-up of this president's crimes.
Oh, God, these people need... Oh, I put them on the morphine drip. Put that person on a morphine drip. They are not even a member of humanity anymore. They are not even in. We're not living on the same frequency of light.
No,
and that's just so sad.
You've got the left already tweeting and deleting, That's a bad sign too. They're all screwed. They know this is nothing. They have just staked. Nancy Pelosi just staked her speakership on impeaching over. I cannot imagine that this was not set up. I can't imagine.
After this, Tracy, I really do believe that there had. Now, I don't know who the whistleblower is. I mean, let's say the whistleblower is somebody that is it is very partisan and whatever. I would have to imagine at this point that even they were baited into doing what they were doing, because this seems like it could have only been an intelligence operation by Trump.
Let me tell you something. Here's the one thing, that is getting me. Here. Hold on. I'm looking for it. We talked about this yesterday, Frank. I said it was really interesting because the lawyers that are representing the whistleblower, they're Clintonites, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Charles McCullough is there in that law firm. Do you remember Charles McCullough?
The name sounds familiar. What did he do again?
He was the IG Come on, I got to find it. He was the IG that was involved in outing the Clinton email scandal and was attacked. And here.
Tell you, Catherine.
Well, thank you, Sandra. Good morning. McCullough recently retired after 26 years of government service with the FBI, Treasury, National Security Agency, and as Inspector General for the 17 intelligence agencies. McCullough told Fox he is now grateful to finally tell his story.
There was personal blowback to me, to my family,
to my office.
Few people know more about the Clinton emails and the follow than Charles McCullough, the former internal watchdog for the U.S. intelligence community.
There's more. There's more. Hold on. I got to find the rest of it. There's more. They retaliated against him. He was the IC whistleblower. He was the IC whistle. He was like an IC, ICIG, I mean. He oversaw the 17 intelligence agencies. He's in the law firm where this whistleblower is being repped by. Think about that. I'm not saying that, listen, I'm not basing this on anything other than just a little, and I haven't said anything about it because there's nothing to suggest that this is not some swamp rat who decided to leak, but it's so weak. It's so weak.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was always going to be one of two things. It was always going to be either a very, very well-placed and end times scenario operation to bait a desperate media into trying to finally find a win against the president. Because of course they bit it hook, line, and sinker. And then the other side is it could just be desperation, and they didn't think it through, and they didn't think it was going to be this bad.
That's something. I mean, you're right. It's an option, but like I'm sure you feel the same way. Why would you stake everything on something like this? It doesn't make any sense. There's something else going on here. Did you hear? They have now postponed this testimony that this whistleblower was supposed to come in front of the committees and testifying this week. All of a sudden, that's postponed.
We got to postpone this because we need to bring in Stephen King to pine through these five pages of transcripts and come up with the most creative way that we can figure out what was done here and what crime was committed. The only other thing that they're going to do here, because of course this is all ever going to be a play for the public, is to try to come up with a scenario that is so convoluted that it confuses the average American into just believing that, there is a crime here and they're not skilled enough to be able to identify it themselves. But of course, they have already learned the behavior of hating the president. So whatever the experts say, they're going to go along with. It's the only other thing that is going to be done or can be done, which is usually the primary play by all these people and their media. Just come up with something so convoluted that only the stupid will believe it.
The thing that bothered me about it was that Laura Ingraham last night had Giuliani on and she was right. People don't get this. People don't understand the complicated nature of what's going on here. People just don't understand it. And I said, well, that's your fault. That's your fault and everyone else's fault out there who's not doing the time, taking the time to explain things. And so I'm like, if we could just get more people to understand what's going on here, it's not hard, Frank. I know you're kind of always the one saying, this is too complicated. The players, the people, the blah, blah, blah. There's a way to do it. And that's why I loved Dan Bongino's interview with Mark Levin. Clinton weighed in, Frank.
Hillary?
Yeah.
Oh, what'd she say?
She said,
"This is just, I can't believe it. He is violent. We need to rebuke."
The president of the United States has betrayed our country. That's not a political statement. It's a harsh reality, and we must act. He is a clear and present danger to the things that keep us strong and free. I support impeachment.
I'm sure you do, brain eater.
Carpe Donctum says, "I can't speak for the rest of America, but go yourself, Hillary."
The harsh reality is I eat human brains.
God. People in the comments are very friendly. You paid the Ukraine to obstruct our election and have the audacity to lecture us, the people, about protecting our country. Oh, gosh, David Harris Jr., you have betrayed our country, sold 20% of our uranium to Russia, allowed four Americans, including an ambassador, to die, and then lied to us about it, had a private server in your basement selling who knows what to God knows who. You have betrayed us all. Jesus.
Yep.
And then somebody wrote, this man is still clearly obsessed with you. It's really... These people are sick, Frank. There are a bunch of mentally ill degenerates roaming the streets in our country.
Oh, yeah.
Mentally ill degenerates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just, and they need your money.
Let's move to something else, shall we?
Sure. Whatever you want to do.
Big, huge development yesterday in the ongoing saga that is General Flynn.
Oh, yeah. I need to hear about this. Go ahead.
The judge in the case against his business partner at Flynn Intel Group dismissed all the charges against him. He was convicted of FARA violation and a couple other things. And the judge said there was literally no evidence to convict this man on. The charges are vacated.
Well, that is something interesting. What and I this may or may not relate in any way, but first of all, anybody that is in the in that kind of sphere of influence and that rubbing shoulders with Michael Flynn to start seeing exonerations and dismissals like that is really that's telling as well too, especially as this all comes to a crescendo. But what about this Podesta Farah forgiveness thing?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I definitely want to address it, but I want to finish with the Flynn thing only because of this. This case was the case that Flynn was supposed to cooperate in, and then at the last minute, they wanted him to lie about signing a document and say he signed it, knowing it that the information in it was false, and he refused to lie. And then the government threw a hissy fit tantrum and said they weren't using him as a witness anymore and changed their mind to say he was complicit in the things that they had all along said he was not complicit in. And also, this is the case that the government used to harass and literally harass Flynn's son, Mike Flynn Jr. This is that case. The fact that the judge did this, it is a massive blow. Like, even now, he pled guilty, Flynn, in his plea deal to FARA violations with Turkey, right? He didn't even write that op-ed, first of all. That's the one interesting thing. But the second thing is that if there's nothing here with the business partner, there's nothing there in his plea deal. Which is another firm, like, indicator that he pled guilty out of coercion or for some other reason. He wasn't guilty of anything having to do with Turkey. The judge clearly outlines how that's proven by the evidence that was presented. That they went to FARA attorneys Covington and Burling. They went to Covington, the attorneys, to help them with FARA back then. They were advised they did not need to file a FARA, but they just needed to file with Congress, which they did. They stopped using Covington because they didn't like Donald Trump, and it was evident that they were biased. Then it was also that these attorneys who were advising Flynn in the other matter, why did he keep them on for so long knowing that? Very, very interesting. Not quite sure. We'll probably find out. Do you want? Am I making sense, or am I too long-winded here?
No. I don't. I haven't really heard any of it, so I needed all that stuff. But I can see what this is kind of building toward, especially since we were following what was going on with Sidney Powell and the pace that was changing in favor of Flynn and disclosure and all this stuff. So I just want the boulder to hit, Tracy. I want the boulder to squash Coyote.
Listen,
finally.
It's coming. You could feel it. Look at all this crap that's going on right now.
I don't know if I feel it or if I feel like diarrhea cramps. I don't know what I feel right now.
Listen, I can't help you with that, but I can help you with this.
Okay. I know everybody else out there. How many people out there have diarrhea cramps right now? Raise your hand.
I'm raising my hand.
Good. So then there's at least two of us.
Yeah. Because it's always, like I said last night, Frank, I'm telling you, straight up, like, I haven't slept in God knows how long. I'm getting four hours of sleep a night. I'm up all night reading and tweeting and, I made a comment last night saying I always tell myself I'm going to try and get in bed by 10 o'clock. Never happens. never happens. I'm either listening to something or writing something. It's over and over. It's getting there. I'm telling you. Mondays, sometimes I feel like I don't have any energy when I wake up on Monday. And I'm like, I know I'm going to have to save something for the middle of the week. I just know it. I feel it in my bones. Monday and Tuesday, go back and look at my Twitter. See how busy I was. What's today? Tuesday? Monday, especially. Monday and Sunday. See what I was doing on Twitter. Little to nothing. I knew it. I just knew it. And I'm sitting in a half-built room looking around at it, which is great.
Sitting in a half-built room.
This is, I can't wait for all of this to come out. I just need to get my hands on someone who knows what the hell's going on, and I'm almost there. There's only so much you could do open source.
No, there is. There is. Everything else, you need somebody to say, hey. You know what you need? It's almost like playing that game with your grandparents as a kid, and they hid an object somewhere in the house, and they tell you, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Oh, no, you're getting colder. Oh, you're freezing. You're freezing. Well, you have to get closer. You don't know where it is, and they can't necessarily tell you, but they can give you with winks and nods. Okay, you're getting closer. Yeah, you're on track. Can somebody just tell us that we're on track?
I would. Please. I get that sometimes, occasionally. I get a nudge that comes through like, you're good. Wink, wink.
Stay on that.
I know.
All right.
Oh, Lord. I think that's good for today, even though I could talk about this for another 6 or 7 hours.
Oh, well, this is 6 or 7 hours. God knows what the story's even going to be.
Right.
So it's going to – this is tremendous. This is tremendous. You know, forget about it. We can do that Friday.
Gosh.
I know, Tracy. Well, at least we this was timed very well that we were able to read the whole transcript. This was a good one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Richard Barris just put out a tweet from someone that says, Senate Democrats interfere with the Mueller investigation by writing to the Ukraine government in a desperate attempt to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. What date was this? This was May 4th, 2018, where they decided that it would be okay to threaten aid be withheld.
Oh, I saw that. And one of the quotes in there, read the quote, because I think he attached a quote to it.
You find it.
Wait a second. I think Pelosi accidentally tells the truth. No, hold on. I sent it to myself in email. Let me see, y'all.
Here it is. Blocking cooperation with the Mueller probe potentially cuts off a significant opportunity for Ukrainian law enforcement to conduct a more thorough inquiry. This reported refusal also sends a worrying signal to Ukrainian people as well as the international community about your government's commitment more broadly to support justice and the rule of law. No, that's not it.
Yeah, no, this is from Ryan Saavedra.
Oh, here it is.
The Washington Post. This is opinion, Democrats' double standard on Ukraine. And the headline here, or at least the tweet, is Democrat senators reached out to Ukraine in May 2018 and asked for their assistance in investigating Trump. Quote, in the letter, they implied that their support for U.S. assistance to Ukraine was at stake. End quote.
Well, I'm reading it right now. The letter. The actual letter. We're writing to express great concern about reports that your office has taken steps to impede cooperation with the investigation of U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller. As strong advocates for a robust and close relationship with Ukraine, we believe that our cooperation should extend to such legal matters. So they just set the precedent right there that it's okay to work with Ukraine on such legal matters, regardless of politics.
Yeah, and to imply, and if you're looking at both the transcript, you take the transcript from today and you compare it to even just that letter. What's the big difference I see is that whereas in the Trump transcript with Zelensky, there's absolutely no implication of whether or not one action or the other is going to be tied to financial considerations. The other side is very well, very bluntly, in a vague way, I guess you can put it that way, saying that, we will not reconsider any kind of arrangement that we already have with you guys unless we get some cooperation. So you think about what is not in one place Oh man, the contrast.
They wrote literally to the general prosecutor in Ukraine. They didn't even write to the president. They skipped over him and went right to intimidate his prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Frank.
Well, they've got a knack for going after and stifling prosecutions, don't they?
Yeah, seems so.
I mean, that's what this is all about at the very crux of it. But it's so much. Now I can understand why this is so much bigger than anything else, because it goes beyond the isolating damage to Joe Biden. Even though Joe Biden as a player, I mean, he's just a link in the chain. I don't see how this man, especially with his level of intelligence, can really be a shot caller. But like everybody else, they know where bodies are buried, and they all have to be insulated, because where one of them goes down, they can pull down the entire ship. On the other hand, when you bring up things like CrowdStrike and servers and 2016, when you start going into that, this goes far beyond Joe Biden. And I think that's where a lot of this getting out ahead of it panic is coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, because they got to cover all that crap up. Otherwise, they're toast. On September 13th, Frank, is when Schiff sent out the press release. He subpoenaed the acting director of National Intelligence, McGuire. Remember? Hold on. So McGuire steps down because he was acting. Okay. Never mind. Thinking out loud. A month ago, Schiff says, which would have been August, a whistleblower within the intelligence community lawfully filed a complaint regarding a serious or flagrant problem, abuse, violation of law, or deficiency. This is the exact language the whistleblower statute uses. No coincidence. Within the responsibility or authority of the DNI, the Inspector General of the IC found that complaint not only credible, but urgent. That's what we just saw. That was what this was about, that call.
This transcript is what he's referring to. Yes. With the language he put out. The language that Schiff used was in relation to this completely non-controversial exchange between leaders.
That's what was leaked. That's what they leaked to the media after this subpoena didn't get enough attention.
See, this is what I'm talking about here. This is what I'm talking about with the subpoena. You want to talk about the spinelessness of the Senate Republicans, the vast majority of them. Not only do they have the power to go out there and actually spar and use their majority as a levy against what is this bubble gut nonsense that's going on in the House, but they also have subpoena power. Mm-hmm. They have subpoena power in the Senate. Every Senate committee that there is, from foreign affairs on down.
Lindsey Graham has done absolutely nothing.
I'm telling you, Tracy, the president has shook a few of them in their boots, and they have found very responsible ways to kind of go along, to get along, and seem like they're out there, and they really are fans of correcting what's wrong. But they are all in the same spheres of influence, and they're just trying to find a way to survive this.
Look, President Trump would be making a much bigger deal about this if it mattered what their committees were doing. Like, in other words, if Trump really cared about what the Senate was doing, he would be making noise about it. Why aren't they having hearings? Why aren't they? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter, because there's DOJ investigations ongoing.
Yeah.
So he doesn't care, because they don't need, you know, they probably won't even be able to testify in front of those committees, even if subpoenaed. They'll probably have to say, I can't discuss that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the other thing there, too, is the president knows what kind of a tenured situation he has going on over there. And at this point, you have to take the majority and be grateful for it. But he knows the kind of people that are in the Senate. He knows. So, thankfully, we're going to get a little bit more insight into what the DOJ is doing. But man, oh man, what a turn of events.
Yeah, this
week has been out of nowhere, too. Out of nowhere. The demand for the transcript, the false start impeachment proceedings. This is just unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
So I guess until Friday.
Until Friday, Frank, you've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Unimpeachable Val.
And me, Beans. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Friday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.